This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. I'm DJ, and welcome back to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. Happy to be back, happy to be talking about movies again this week. Last week's podcast went a little longer than I usually like to go. I think this week's might go a little shorter. I don't know. Well, let's see where we go. This week, I'm talking about Logan in 4K, one of my favorite sets. This set not only came with, well, obviously the 4K version, but it also came with both 4K and standard version of Logan Noir, which is the movie in black and white. And having seen this movie in both versions, I gotta say, I really preferred the, well, you know what? We'll get to that when we get to the movie. I'll talk about that in a second. How's that for a tease? Anyways, yeah, this week's been a quiet week. This is the time of year when I get busy at work, so things are getting busier and busier, so I don't have much time in my theater, but I always make time. So I'm probably going to be doing about a movie a week, and then we have, well, for me, the big deal, the big release coming up at the end of the month. We're getting all of the Star Wars movies. I've already ordered my box set. I ordered it back in November when they announced it. Everything in 4K. So if you're a Star Wars fan, April's probably going to be a fun month for this podcast. If you're not a Star Wars fan, oh well, I am. And April's going to be a fun month for me because I'm probably going to go through every single movie and just I can't wait. I really am looking forward to March 31st. The week before that, we have 1917. Really looking forward to that. Up until then, I'll probably be just doing some back catalog stuff. Hopefully it gets you interested. Maybe you pop the movie in yourself. But also, let me know what you're watching. Let me know what you thought of the movie that I'm talking about on that particular day. Doesn't really matter. Say you're listening to this podcast and it's 2 years after I recorded it. I don't care. I like to talk about movies. Hit me up on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you could email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. I just like to talk about movies, so let me know what you like. Or, for that matter, let me know what you don't like. So, let's get back to Logan. Talk spoiler-free for a little while. I know it's an older movie from 2017, but if you haven't seen it, talk spoiler-free for a little bit, and then I'll let you know that when we get into spoilers. I only have a few spoiler scenes that I wanted to mention, but some of it is in the audio commentary and the extras. But let's get to it. Obviously, great movie. My opinion, probably the best comic book movie of all time. Yeah, I know, that's a bold statement when you have the likes of Endgame now. But this is a movie that I think even Martin Scorsese would be proud of. Because this is actually a cinema-type movie as far as comic books go. Because this movie was made like an older movie. It's not heavy CGI. They purposely went for the practical effects, the practical shots, practical filming. And you really feel that through the movie. And when I get into a couple of the spoiler, or when I get into spoiler talk, I'll be able to point out what I mean by that. It's funny because the first few times I've seen this movie, I really felt like it was a Western type feel. And then when you get into the extras, you learn that they purposely shot it that way. I felt like the color, even in the 4K version, the color was really, really rich, but yet subtle. It didn't feel to me like when I see a movie like an Endgame where the colors just really pop and you have high contrast colors, or you'd have, like, in Endgame, you'd have Iron Man's suit against the backdrop of the action or whatever's going on, and that, you know, you can really see how colors can, quote-unquote, pop. But this movie was, I felt like the background and the foreground, everything, it was more subtle, but so much detail, and you You could see textures. You could see, it was just so clear. It looked so good in 4K. But going to the black and white, this is the edition that I prefer for this movie, because this actually gets you to the essence of the movie. If you watch this entire movie in black and white and then go back to the 4K, go back to the color, regardless of resolution, I challenge anybody to tell me that the color version is better, because I think in the black and white version, you see details, and I'll get it. I have one specific that I'd never saw in the color version. I'll get into that in spoilers. But you see details, it heightens your awareness of what's going on the screen. It heightens your awareness of the acting, of the textures, of even the wrinkles in Hugh Jackman's face. It heightens everything. While I watch it in black and white, I'm always reminded of that old, like, you know, the Daredevil thing. You lose one sense and another sense is heightened. And so, like, where you took color away, you're just paying more attention to everything else. You're not distracted by, oh, look at the... And it's funny, in the audio commentary, and I've actually watched the audio commentary in the black and white version, and it's funny because the director, James Mangold, says in one of the scenes, he calls out a color of Laura's backpack, and when you're watching it in black and white, you can't see the color of her backpack, but you don't care. I found it in black and white to be a much more powerful movie, and this is already a very powerful movie from beginning to end. The pacing of it, the story, everything about it. And let's get into sound. It's funny, we've gone this long into the podcast and I haven't talked about sound yet, and sound is like my favorite thing about home theater. The Atmos track on this, really, really good, really strong, but nothing that I could really point a finger at and say, oh, you really want to see this scene. I have a couple of references in spoilers that I'll talk about, but nothing that, you know, like I said, reference disc quality where you'd say, put this in and invite people in and show off your room. It's not like that, but this isn't that type of movie. This is a movie that is meant to draw you into the story. It's meant to, well, really give you that old-fashioned movie theater feel, and I really kind of had that in this. It's rated R, but it's not really rated R for the gore. It's rated R for the story, the subject matter, and that, you know, they get into that in the extras and in the commentary. But when you're watching this movie, the way it's shot, and watching it on a big screen in your theater, which... It's funny to say that. It's like, this is a movie that will play well on a small screen because it's story driven, but it's so much fun to watch in a home theater and enjoy the scenery and the shots, and the 4K version, so crisp, but I still love the black and white. It's such a strong movie, and that's, I can't recommend watching this in black and white enough. If you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. If you have done it, let me know what you think, because it's really, really good. It's really good. It's the way I prefer to watch the movie. All right, let's get into some spoilers now. So if you haven't seen the movie, pause, go watch the movie, please. So the first spoiler scene that I'm going to talk about pertains to the sound. Probably the only scene that I really was like, all right, this is pretty cool. And it happens a few times in the movie, but the first time that we go into the water tank to see Charles, and Charles has an episode with his mind, and it shakes the room. It happens again later in the movie, but I use this one as a reference because this one happened at 11 minutes and 50 seconds into the movie, and it literally shakes the room. I mean, you can see it. It's shaking the environment within the movie, but in my theater, it was shaking the room. The bass was incredible. The swirling surround sound was incredible. You really got sucked into this movie as it shook even me. I'm running two subs that are probably oversized for my room. So it was easy to do in my room, but if you have good bass, this scene is going to shake your room. It's going to shake you. And then later on in the movie, when they're in what, you know, the casino, and Charles has his little, has his episode out in public, and they shake the entire scene there, that one even more so. But I really enjoyed this one because it came suddenly. You, first time you're experiencing it, it was a really strong, powerful scene. Another scene that was really cool, but this one was in the audio commentary. So even when you're watching the movie, what's kind of cool is you can flip back and forth. You can actually turn the commentary on and off and go back to the scene. But this scene here is at 29 minutes and 20 seconds. Turn the audio commentary on for this scene. So this is a scene where Logan's trying to get Charles out of the abandoned smelting plant in Mexico. And James Mangold is explaining that because of Patrick Stewart's schedule, they weren't able to have him on set in Mexico to shoot these scenes. Or I'm sorry, in New Mexico, where they were shooting that scene. So Patrick Stewart was in Louisiana. So they had to go to Louisiana and shoot those scenes. So they set up a set in Louisiana to shoot some of the scenes, but then they had their set in New Mexico for the rest of the scene. And like I said, I can't recommend it enough. Just throw it in, go to 29:20, put on the audio commentary, and listen to James Mangold tell you, like, every shot, he'll go, New Mexico, Louisiana, New Mexico, Louisiana, and he'll tell you which scenes are shot where. And it's amazing that you can't tell the difference. Like, when you're watching, if you've seen this movie and never heard this part of it before, you'll be blown away. Be like, that's shot in Louisiana like months earlier, and then they shot that in New Mexico without Patrick Stewart. And he'll tell you which scenes have like a dummy Patrick, like a stand-in. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And also at 44:45, James Mangold tells you how he came up with the idea to even release this in a black and white version, because he starts talking about the lighting that they used and how they used practical lighting throughout this movie, because he finds it to be more dynamic. And I can tell you firsthand from my days of doing self-portraits or any kind of portraits when I was in college and learning this stuff and learning how to draw, it's like, yes, you want to create the most dynamic lighting you can to create the most dynamic picture. It actually makes it easier when you're trying to draw because you have more lines. Well, he was talking a lot about that, and the way they shot this movie, he was using black and whites to check the scenes. And then he's like, we should just produce this in black and white. So that's how he got the idea to even put it out in black and white. And I'm glad he did, because you can really see the difference, especially if you're watching the black and white movie, black and white version of this. So in reference to that, that gets me to that scene that I talked about earlier, spoiler free. In the black and white version, it really, quote unquote, popped for me, and I noticed this. But in the color version, it's not as noticeable because you're seeing everything in the scene. You probably wouldn't even notice it unless somebody points it out to you. But nobody pointed this out to me, and in the black and white version, it just, my eyes went right to it. And that's at 49:10. All right, go to 49:10. Well, you could do it in either color or black and white, but in the black and white, I think it's the glimmer that really shows it off. So this is the scene when Logan and Laura are at the gas station, and she's walking around and she's eating the Pringles and she's got a drink, and she's confronted by the store clerk. And the shot is from behind her, and she's looking at the store clerk, and the store clerk is trying to tell her, you know, you need to pay for that, you know. Well, she has a rip on the back of her shirt, and she has a hole in her skin from when she got harpooned earlier in the movie. Well, there's a glimmer there that shows to me that glimmer is like her adamantium shoulder blade. But in the regular color version, it doesn't pop the way it does in the black and white, because that color, it's so bright. You're like, oh, that's her adamantium shoulder blade. It really popped out for me. It was really cool. And it's stuff like that, that when you're watching the color version of it, you're taken back by the entire store. It's subtle differences like that that I think make it a more engaging version. To me, it's just more fun to watch. All right, I think I've hammered home enough that I really enjoyed the black and white version versus the color version. So I only have a couple more scenes to talk about, but they're both from the making of Logan, the extra that's on the, quote, third disc. It's the 1080p version. And one of them is the audition tape for Daphne Keene, who played Laura, the little girl. This scene was really, really cool. So James Mangold's explaining what a great actress she was, and he tells you that when they were doing their audition tape, and she was doing a screen test audition tape with Hugh Jackman, and she asked if she could do an impromptu scene. So they had her do the scene as the lines were given to her, but she's like, I want to do this myself. Can I try that? And they show you the version, and it's the version that you see in the movie, but here it is. It's Hugh Jackman and her sitting just in a room acting out these scenes. And one of the things I found was, like, the way she was acting, she did such a good job, and obviously this is why they chose her for the role. You could tell Hugh Jackman was acting, but she wasn't. You really felt for watching this screen test, you actually felt for her. She did such a good job with it. But Hugh Jackman, not that he wasn't acting well, and you could tell his lines and stuff, but you could tell he was acting. It's hard to describe. You have to see this scene. Oh, and by the way, this scene is at 2220 on the extra making of Logan. I mean, I highly recommend watching the entire making of Logan, but just that scene alone is worth this entire thing. There's also another scene where they talk about a, quote, elaborate special effects scene that you would never know is a special effects scene. Very similar to the one I was telling you about earlier, about Louisiana, New Mexico. Well, this one is, they talk about it in the making of Logan, and in the casino scene that they filmed in Louisiana. Well, Louisiana has very strict casino laws, and no one under the age of 18 is allowed on the casino floor. Well, one of their main characters, Laura, played by maybe she was 12 years old at the time, Daphne Keene, they weren't going to let her on the casino floor. So they had to do some elaborate make the set so that they could film her and then have a double. And it's all intertwined, and it looks normal to me. And they say, like, go through here, and you would never know that that's like an elaborate green screen and everything else that they did, and made actual sets for the 12-year-old. But then they had a over 18 double in the scene when they go through it's a pretty cool little thing that if you're not watching the extras, you don't know that this even exists. Cause when you see the movie, it looks like they just, can we close the casino and just, can we march a 12-year-old through here? Nope. They didn't let them. So I thought that was really cool. And the extent that they have to go to make a movie like this, it was really, really fun. So that's about it that I have for Logan for this week. It's going to be a quick one. Like I said, one of my favorite all-time movies. Probably my favorite comic book movie. Pretty much because I don't consider it a comic book movie. If you want to really hear me break down the movie itself and the comic book movie, my co-host John and I over at the Bright Side Chat are going to be doing a breakdown of this. It'll be out a little over a week from now on Monday. I don't know what he thinks of it. He's kind of getting a little glimpse of what I think of it because this is coming out earlier. But you can check that out. So thanks for listening. Not sure what I'll be doing next week. Any suggestions, ideas of scenes or movies, let me know on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me again at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at NerdyLegion.com. And please, if you're listening on iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars would be great. If you can't give me 5 stars, let me know. Email me or tweet at me. Let me know what I could do to earn the 5 stars. That would be great. Hope everybody has a great week. I'll be back next Friday. Now go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.